260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, and when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take four of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, FM, and satellites. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5. And Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395 6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. The longest government shutdown in U.S. history continues as differences remain between Democrats and Republicans on a funding bill. Major U.S. airlines have canceled hundreds of flights as of Friday as the Federal Aviation Administration begins limiting flight capacity at 40 major U.S. airports. The shutdown, which began on October the 1st, has left many low-income Americans without food assistance, closed many government services, and led to the furlough of about 750,000 federal employees. Food banks nationwide report rising demand for unpaid workers, and the Department of Agriculture has warned that funding for food stamps is running out. We'll be discussing the ripple effects of the recent U.S. government shutdown on tonight's edition of Spotlight. Here are our guests for tonight's show. Political activist and attorney Robert Petillo joining us from Washington, D.C. And we also have economist, academic, and author John Edmonds joining us from Wellesley, U.S. Let's start off with Mr. Petillo in Washington. Sir, what would you say are the key sticking points preventing a compromise right now? Because Donald Trump, he still says it's down to the Democrats to end it.
Well, Donald Trump just today has continued to pressure congressional Republicans that they can end the shutdown right now. They have every vote that they need to reopen the government within the Republican caucus. They will simply need to end the filibuster, and then they can pass the they can reopen the government with a simple 50-vote majority. So the idea of this being a Democratic shutdown is not supported by the facts on the ground. However, the reason the Democrats are not supporting a quote-unquote clean continuing resolution is that that would cut subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, which would throw nearly 7.5 million people off of health care and nearly triple the rates of health insurance for millions of more Americans at the end of the year. Essentially, Donald Trump is forcing Americans to make a choice. Either you can have health care or you can have food. And that's not a choice the American people are willing to make. So if he wants to continue this government shutdown, or if he wants to reopen the government, Republicans can do it right now. It's just those Republican senators are going to be on the ballot in 2026 and 2028, and they're not willing to put their names on this Trump agenda, taking health care away from millions of Americans.
Right. So you just mentioned at the heart of this shutdown is the tax credits for health insurance in the budget. The GOP doesn't want it. The Democrats do. What does a battle over the ACA subsidies mean, and who do you think will eventually capitulate first?
Well, I think that the Democrats have to continue holding strong for the American people, because at the end of the day, this is life or death. We're talking about, for some Americans, they can see their health care premiums rise by for a family of four in the state of Illinois that makes $50,000 a year. They will see their health care premiums increase by 900% if these subsidies go away. We're talking about health care that affects the poorest of Americans, the elderly, the disabled, people who have six-figure jobs and have employees. Subsidized insurance, they won't be hurt by this the way that poor Americans will. So Democrats have to put their foot in the sand and say we're standing up for health care. On the other hand, Republicans have been trying to get rid of Obamacare since the day that it passed with no cognizable plan to replace it. I have literally been waiting to hear the Republican health care plan since I was in seventh grade in 1993. They've been saying since Hillary Clinton that next week, next month, next year, we will hear what the Republican health care plan is. It has been 30 plus years. They do not have a plan. The only plan is to let the poor fend for themselves, and that's not something Democrats are willing to capitulate on. So if Republicans want to reopen the government, end the filibuster, and you put your name on those millions of Americans who will be losing health insurance, and you will pay the price at the ballot box.
Mr. Petillo, polls are showing that Americans are blaming Republicans for the impasse. Are the Democrats winning the politics around this shutdown right now?
Well, I don't think there's a question of the politics on the Democratic side of the aisle. This is legitimately something that affects their constituents. That if you, well, most Democrats come from working class backgrounds. They don't come from the Elon Musk and the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world. We're talking about working class communities, poor communities. And they cannot in good faith go back to their constituents and say, I put my signature on something that took health care away from the poorest of Americans. But at their political realities are the political realities. Donald Trump is the president. Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the House. John Thune is the leader of the United States Senate. Republicans have control of all three branches of the government. They control the Supreme Court for a 6-3 majority. They've appointed hundreds of federal court judges across the nation. They have the ability to control the economy, the world economy, through tariff policies without needing the Congress. He's doing international strikes on fishing boats in the Caribbean and the Pacific without Congress. The American people are not going to believe you control every aspect of the world power apparatus, but somehow you can't reopen the government, even though you tweeted out that Republicans can reopen the government today. So on the political side of it, Democrats have stood firm from the beginning, saying that we're going to protect health care for millions of Americans. Everything else has been Republicans running around in a circle to figure out how to get around providing that same health care for millions of Americans, including starving people. The Trump administration has appealed a ruling from a Rhode Island judge saying that they had to release food assistance funding today. They are literally putting people in a Sophie's choice of they can either have food or they can have health care. And the American people are rightly blaming that on the president right now, particularly given the fact that he has access to nearly $6 billion in contingency funds that would fund food assistance for millions of Americans, as well as the ability to dip into other pots to fully fund food assistance for the month of November. They are doing this on purpose.
Well, economist John Edmonds has joined our show right now. Mr. Edmonds, let's dive right in. What would you say are the key sticking points preventing a compromise right now? And on the topic that we were discussing with Mr. Patillo, should the Democrats, in your opinion, be emboldened now following Tuesday's results in the state and local elections?
Well, thank you for having me. And this is a very, very broad subject, which goes back a long way, but one of the big issues is the cost of health care, which is very high because it's very, very difficult to tell people that they can't see the best specialist or even a specialist, and yet the specialists have to go through years and years of education, and then it's very, very expensive to provide that service. And then the question is how to pay for it, and the answer historically has been through various government programs, and those are now really under the microscope. But the bigger picture is fiscal conservatives in the United States genuinely believe that government doesn't really do anything, or anything that they do is hopelessly inefficient, and there must be a better way of doing it. So they want to actually force the issue by refusing to approve anything that looks inefficient to them. And the other thing which is thrown in there now is food assistance. So the previous expert was quite entirely correct. The middle class, typical middle class family, really can't afford food and can't afford health care, and some of them can't afford either one. So it's very strange that such a rich country can be so unable to supply these services. Just in France, and I used to live in Costa Rica, and a statistically poorer country, the U.S., and you can do both these things better, less hunger and less people that are denied health care.
Okay, Mr. Patillo, the Democrats say it's time for Donald Trump to stop thinking about the new White House ballroom and sit down and address the health care crisis. Should Donald Trump be doing more as president to help Congress reach a deal?
Well, what has he done thus far to help Congress reach a deal? What exactly have been the compromises that he put in place? Since this shutdown has started, and since Speaker Mike Johnson sent Congress away in the first week of September, there have been absolutely no substantive bipartisan discussions with regards to reopening the government. Donald Trump took a whirlwind tour through Asia, where he started getting gold crowns and gold golf balls and all sorts of tribute paid towards him, while the American people are literally literally starving. Imagine being a family being told that your food assistance will be cut off, and on that exact same day you see there's a Great Gatsby party at Mar-a-Lago with dancing girls and strippers and teacups, and every rich billionaire having a party while the poor are starving to death. I mean the idea that Donald Trump cares at all about the poor people in the country is absolutely a fantasy at this point in time. And it's not just the $300 million ballroom. We have a $300 million ballroom. We have a $400 million jet from Qatar. He's spending $200 million to buy two private jets from the Homeland Security Secretary. He's doing a military buildup in the Caribbean, which is costing upwards of $500 million to redeploy our troops and assets to the region. We are talking about him spending money on literally everything on earth except helping the poor. And if you combine that with the immigration rates we're seeing nationally, where school teachers are being drug out in front of children, where American citizens are being shot by federal law enforcement officers, where there's open combat in the streets of Chicago at the Broadview facility, you had a member of the clergy shot in the head with pepper balls. The American people see what is going on, and they do not like it. And when you have a president who appears to be completely checked out, doing his YMCA dance every time he gets another bribe check, of course the American people are going to react this way. And you're sitting on a political powder keg. Because it's one thing to have political disagreements on campaign finance reforms or taxes. It's an entire different thing when you introduce starvation to a population. Revolutions happen because of starvation. Bread riots have broken out historically because of starvation. And President Trump is playing a very dangerous game of trying to starve the American people into capitulation to the MAGA agenda.
Mr. Edmonds, did you want to add anything there?
I certainly did. We should consider the dilemma of the farmers who voted in vast majority for this government and are getting, pardon my crude, getting teased by the person that they voted for. They love so much.
Okay, Mr. Edmonds, sorry, you're breaking up there. I'm going to allow my colleagues to figure this out. We're going to go back to Mr. Patillo. Let's talk about some of the tangible impacts of this shutdown, if you may. As of now...
Yeah, sorry. It's a new phone. I probably have the microphone now behind me.
Okay, we'll get back to you in a moment.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, yep. we'll get right back to you. Mr. Patillo, as of now, millions of federal workers are still in limbo. Hundreds of flights have been canceled nationwide due to the shutdown. What other services are set to be rattled if a deal is not reached soon? There's impact on the food assistance. There's the issue of retiree benefits and et cetera.
Well, just to key in on the federal worker aspect of this, for many federal workers who are paid once a month, they have not received a paycheck since October 1st. So we're talking about a month and a half without being paid in some cases. This goes down to everything from the people who inspect your food, people who inspect shipping that comes in at American ports, your basic public services and public safeties, the people who inspect nuclear facilities to ensure that they do not catch on fire, the individuals who are testing drugs that are coming to market. The entirety of the federal apparatus is breaking down. And this is not by mistake. This is actually by design. The conservative movement has argued for years, since Grover Norquist, that we need to have a federal government so small that you can drown it in a bathtub. That is their saying, not ours. And when you're looking at what's taking place, the reason that Republicans are not really working hard to try to reopen the government is they enjoy the status quo. They want to have a quote-unquote small federal government that does less and impacts people's lives less. They think that when people are pouring on food assistance, it's because they're lazy. And we've seen this consistently throughout conservative media. They try to make this idea that this is quote-unquote welfare queens sitting around driving Cadillacs, as Ronald Reagan said in the 1980s. They're not concerned with these issues that are happening to people. We're seeing food banks around the country being overstressed and overburdened because people who went from making $100,000 a year are now standing in food lines trying to feed their children. When we're talking about federally subsidized child care, that goes away, which means that women who were depending on those subsidies to take care of their children have to leave the workforce and return home, and they have to choose between working or leaving their children alone for hours per day to be able to support their families. If you're looking in heating and rental assistance, we're going to get the first snowfall in parts of the country this weekend, and there are going to be people who cannot afford to keep their power on or to heat their homes, particularly elderly people in the Northeast.
Right.
So this is going to impact every part of American life in a negative way. And the fact that this is being held up by Republican senators who could reopen the government today if they want to shows that they are afraid of the ramifications of what happens when they steal health care from millions of people.
Mr. Edmonds, Trump has ordered most federal agencies to wind down their non-essential activities. But what happens if a deal is not reached come mid-November when the troops don't get paid?
Well, when you don't pay the military, that generally gets serious. I've lived in the third world, and even dictators do that out of self-preservation. It's really quite astonishing that the libertarian undercurrent, which is a theme within the Republican Party, is really trying to find out what services are actually necessary. And their starting assumption is government really doesn't do anything at all, just a bunch of people sitting around. They used to sit and read the newspaper, and now they just sit and play video games. That's really not true. And we're finding out that, well, you mentioned food inspection. You wouldn't want your food to be inspected, would you? Of course not. Of course you would. What are we, nuts? I mean, I'm going to eat something that hasn't been inspected? What is this? I mean, come on. This is really quite shocking. Especially, I agree with Mr. Patillo, extremely right on target. And I would just add a few more things that generally the stronger the vote was for this government, the more they're getting kicked in the teeth. So it's like punishing the people who voted for this government. I'm sitting in Massachusetts right now, and Massachusetts never votes for him. It was 2-1 for the Democrat, regardless who the Democrat is.
Okay. Mr. Patillo, this is already the longest government shutdown in history. The last one was in the last partial government shutdown was in 2018 through 2019 during Trump's first term. That was the longest in history, lasting up to 34 days. But what's different about this one in 2025? Some are even saying that we're seeing an unprecedented level of involvement of the executive branch itself in the attempt to manage expectations for the shutdown.
Well, the difference now is that the one side has no interest in reopening the government. Quite frankly, President Trump knows that if you reopen the government, Mike Johnson will have to swear in the new Democratic congresswoman who will provide the votes necessary to release the Epstein files. They have no interest in reopening the government, quite frankly. If you look at President Trump and his friends, Elon Musk just got a payment package from Tesla of $1 trillion. His friends are doing fine. The people at the top of the economy are doing absolutely fine during this. There was an analysis that came out this week saying that the 7 tech companies involved in AI, quite frankly, are the only growth sector in our economy, that every other part of the economy is in recession. We've lost over 1 million jobs since Donald Trump has taken office. We've had over 300,000 black women individually leave the workforce because of this president. Those are the people who are struggling. And when you listen to Trump's rhetoric, he wants to punish those people. He wants to punish, quote unquote, Democratic cities. He wants to get rid of Democratic programs. Anyone who he does not see as being part of his political base, he sees as being an enemy of the state. Appetite by the Trump administration to reopen the government until it starts impacting his base. And then secondarily, this is the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room. This is only a temporary shutdown, because in theory, even if we were to reopen the government next week, you'd only have a week of government, then the Thanksgiving holidays, then you'll come back for the lame duck session in December, at which point in time you'd have to vote again on keeping the government open. So even if we open the government today, it will close again either in December or January, because we don't have a long-term budget fix. We are simply doing continuing resolution to continuing resolution. This is why they talk about the quote-unquote clean CR, because it's a continuing resolution instead of voting on a final budget that will solve these issues. So it's becoming very clear. The first 10 months of this administration was about bringing as many powers into the executive branch, making Article 2 powers of the executive more powerful than the Article I powers of the Congress so that he can govern essentially as a king. The No Kings protests were very prescient because sure. Donald Trump is simply saying he does not need the Congress to operate. He doesn't need the federal government to operate. He wants to do everything directly out of the executive branch. And there's a chance this government shutdown could last for months, not for weeks.
John Edmonds, shutdowns always cost the economy billions of dollars. So why does Congress still do this? What are the changes, if any, that could be made to prevent this kind of fiscal brinkmanship in the future?
I would say that Mike Johnson, main reason for the morning is to protect the press from the scandal, which must be rather extreme in those Epstein papers. And most of those have been leaked already. Like, if anybody doesn't know what this guy is like, they're really just not looking. But it really does seem that it would drag in a bunch of people who have not been included yet in the scandal. And I really don't know why Mike Johnson is being so loyal to a guy who, after all, has committed so many sins. And Mike Johnson would look you right in the eye and tell you that he's an evangelical Christian and he's going to heaven. If he's going, I don't want to go.
All right. Thanks a lot, gentlemen. We're going to leave it there. Robert Petillo joining us from Washington, D.C. Thank you. Economist, academic, and author John Edmonds joining us from Wellesley, U.S. Thank you as well, and a special thanks to you for staying with us on tonight's edition of Spotlight. It's good night for now.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
We once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program, The Teacher. Please stay with us.
What will we say in front of it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the radio show, The Teacher. An analysis on the most important concepts, a review of the most important Islamic teachings. In this episode, I have two special guest speakers, Sheikh Fadai and Sayyid Mahdi. Sheikh Fadai, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And Sayyid Mahdi, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Today's topic is interesting. It is kufr ni'mah, or ingratitude, is among great sins or grave sins. It refers to abusing the blessings, and it's against being grateful for the blessings, especially in regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet Muhammad. So what kind of blessings are we ingratitude for or we must be grateful for? This is also another part of this question. Sayyid Chariya, let's start with you, brother. So first of all, defining gratitude for us, what does it mean exactly when we are in gratitude regarding the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So You know, ingratitude, of course, is, I guess if we want to use a synonym for it, you know, it's being ungrateful, it is being unthankful, and it has, you know, various different dimensions. So on one hand, it can be misusing or abusing the various blessings that the Almighty Allah has given us. That is also one kind of ingratitude. But what we commonly know as ingratitude or ungratefulness or unthankfulness is to not be grateful for the blessings that the Almighty Allah has given us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually something that is so serious that in the verses of the Holy Quran and the traditions, we find that it is highly criticized, of course, but it is also, you know, considered to be a type of kufr or a type of disbelief.
Right.
And it's interesting that the Arabic term for it is, you know, kufranu ni'ma. It has the word ni'ma, kufr
that's in there. Okay.
As well. So that's just a very brief, you know, general introduction to this ingratitude or ungratefulness.
Okay. And kufr, Sheikh Fadai, means disbelief. I mean, when you are in gratitude for the blessings of Allah and you do not thank Allah, does it mean you are, for example, a kafir or infidel or something?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, if you want to consider translations, yes, we have two kinds of kufr. One of them is theological, means that you deny the existence of God, or you deny God as it is, the reality of God, the real God. And the other example, an instance of kufr, is that what we are talking about, to be unthankful and, I don't know, not to thank the blessings of God. But the roots of both meanings are the same. The word kufr in Arabic means to cover something. To cover something.
All right.
And even about the farmer in Arabic, they call it kafir. One of the words for kafir, farmer, is Arabic. يعجب الكفار نباته. We have it in Quran. Means farmers.
So kufar does not mean over the
in that verse,
disbeliever or something.
In that verse means
farmer.
Farmers. But this is the root for both meaning. Kafir theologically means someone who covers the reality and the truth, which is Tawheed, monotheism.
Very good.
So this is a reality that every single person can feel that. فِتْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. This is something that all people can understand it, can feel it from inside, that there is some God, there is some creator. I'm not created by chance. So, and the other one again is covering. When you cover the one who gave you these ni'mah, these blessings, this is again kind of covering. You know that someone else gave it to you, which is God.
All right.
But you try to cover this truth and the reality. You always want to claim that I gain it. I obtained it. Like Qarun. In Quran, we have a story about a person, Qarun. Qarun was one of the relatives of Prophet Musa, alayhi salam.
Yes.
And he was mu'min. He was not kafir.
All right.
But the problem was that he was not thankful to God. He used to say that, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِي. I gained everything that I have, because he was so wealthy.
Yes.
Extremely wealthy, not usual.
Yes, okay.
As we call it nowadays, a multi-billionaire.
Multi-billionaire, that's right. Okay.
Like Elon Musk, for example.
Yeah, for example.
He was that time's Elon Musk.
Yes.
He used to say that, I gained it by myself, by my knowledge. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِي. I had a special knowledge, and I gained it. He didn't want to say that God gave it to me.
All right.
So this is the problem of kufr. You have something, you have a lot of blessing for you. You have your family, father, mother, your son, daughters. You have your house. You have, I don't know, cars, everything.
So you mean it can happen at any level?
Any level.
For example, even a poor person might do kufran and imad, okay?
You know, even a poor one,
All right.
he thinks about the blessings of God, he can understand that he has a lot of things.
Right.
But yes, less than the others.
Uh-huh.
Different levels. But anyway, for example, about this Kufr, we have some verses in Quran.
That's right.
That God reminds people about their beginning. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ. I think that this is one of the wonderful verses that we have in Quran.
That's right.
You know what? Something of قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ means death to insan, death to human being.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, we'll get back to more examples from the Holy Quran. But Sayyid Mehdi, now, this is why we are encouraged in Islam to compare ourselves with lower than ourselves, not higher. Is it so? Because when you compare it with what you have with the people lower than you, on that time you will be more thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your belongings.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, when we look at how Western culture has permeated throughout societies, one of the things that Western culture teaches is the opposite of this. It says that you should always look at somebody who is financially better than you, who is financially on a top or higher level than you are, and to try to attain that, which is unfortunate because it creates a kind of greed that is insatiable. But when you look at the Islamic teachings, it teaches you the opposite. It says that when you want to look financially at somebody, look at those people that are at a lower level than you are. And if you want to look at a higher level of something, then you should look at the higher level of spirituality and try to be like those people that are spiritually better, higher, more pious, righteous than you are, and strive to be like them. This idea of ingratitude gratitude and thankfulness and being thankful for the blessings that Allah has given us is like Sheikh was saying, even a poor person, you know, if nothing else, you have life, you have existence, you have the opportunity to live life, of course, this life which then leads to the hereafter, which is eternity.
Yes.
So if you start to look at it, there's really millions of things that one should be grateful for. And really, if one is not grateful for all of these various things that the Almighty Allah has given an individual, then, you know, they do deserve punishment, don't they?
Okay, that's right. They do.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
So, we know so many rich people who are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sheikh Fadai, but also we know so many rich people who are unthankful, and day by day they are given more. Yeah. I mean, for example, they are ungrateful, but day by day you can see that, okay, the blessings are over there, they become richer and richer. So, is it possible to become richer through ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Of course it is.
Okay, how?
This is a sunnah of God. What does it mean? You know, in Quran, we have a verse can answer this question. Why is it like that? The people who are unthankful, they have more, usually, at least.
Yes.
At least usually, unthankful people, they have more blessings by God. We can refer to Quran to find the answer. In Quran, we have this verse saying, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكَ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Mm-hmm. God will say that if you thank me, I will give you more blessing. It's not mentioned just economic blessing.
All right, okay. More so financial blessing. One now, more blessings, right. That's right.
Always when we think about shukr and kufr and ni'mah,
yes,
we just think about
materialistically.
Materialistic.
A good child could be a blessing.
Health, your health.
A good wife,
family,
health,
your,
that's right.
Your society, yes. All of them. Your security that you have.
Yes.
All of them are.
Healthy family, that's right.
If you thank God, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ, if you thank, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will improve the blessings.
Very good.
But, لَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ, if you do not thank, if you are unthankful, it's not mentioned, I will decrease the blessing. لَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. My punishment will be severe.
Mm-hmm.
It means maybe I give you more if you are unthankful.
Okay.
Why? In our riwayats, it is called istidraj.
Uh-huh.
What is istidraj? Istidraj means that...
Gradual downfall.
Yes.
Yes, that's
right. When you are not to be guided by a lot of signs of God, you faced a lot and you try and you, how can I, you insist to be in the way of shaitan, gradually you will be drowned in the sins, and God will give you more. Why? God will give you more in order not to remind God, not to remember God. To be busy with that material blessing, not to remember who gave it
to
you.
In simple words, God will leave you.
I mean, like
making, leave you with your own world. That's right.
Making a child busy with toys.
Toys, that's
right. We have in Quran, إِنَّمَا الدَّارُ الدُّنْيَا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ. All the life of this this world is a kind of playing.
Playing, that's right.
When you want this child not to bother you, you make him or make him busy with toys.
With toys, that's right.
God will make you busy with toys, not to get close to God.
They're this happy with their toys.
But in Adabi, there's a question. This azab, this punishment, is just for the other world? It's not mentioned in Quran. Even in this world.
Okay.
What kind of punishment? They have everything they have. You think that they are happy. But it's not like that. All these wealthy people, they have more problem than you.
That's right.
They have a lot of money, but they are not happy with their wives, with their children, with their co-workers, with their houses. Always they have problems. They don't have tranquility. Yes, they have wealth. But wealth doesn't mean tranquility. You know, mostly poor people and ordinary level of society, they have more tranquility than the wealthy one.
That's right. Okay.
This is ni'mah, but we don't consider it as ni'mah. We're not thankful for that, for that tranquility that we have.
In a beautiful Persian poem, we say that shukr ni'mat, ni'mat ad afzun konat. Gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your sustenance. Kufr ni'mat az kafat birun konat. Disbelief or ingratitude will, we can say, make you lose all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I mean, sometimes in our du'as, that's why we have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the best or khair for us. I mean, the best is not necessarily more money. Thanking Allah for His blessings and going to the, for example, holy tomb of the Imams and asking Allah again for the blessings of Allah and thanking Allah for the blessings of Allah. You know, this is a way in order to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this way, I think that most of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are thankful about them, will be changed automatically, say, chariot, into a kind of, how can I say, a spiritual boosting for us. And day by day, this thankfulness will get us closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes we don't really understand fully the concept of things like ubudiyya. So ubudiyya, of course, being the worship or the obedience or the servitude to the Almighty Allah. And, you know, sometimes we think that this ubudiyya is limited just to five daily prayers or fasting in the holy month of Ramadan or, you know, Hajj or these kind of things that normally we consider to be the worship of Allah. But, you know, anything that brings you closer to the Almighty Allah is in reality ubudiyya and worship. This gratefulness, this being thankful for what God has provided to every single one of us, this is in essence a type of ubudiyya.
That's right.
It's a type of worship. It's a type of showing gratitude, you know, to the Creator that has given you everything. And it creates a very special relationship between the created and the Creator, or the one giving the blessings and the one receiving the blessings,
that's right.
And that relationship, of course, between God and the human being is something that is increased the more you thank the Almighty Allah. And it's interesting, you know, when we're talking about examples, as a parent, whenever you give something to your child, when the child is grateful, it, you know, of course, it makes the parent happy. It's a right that the child has, you know, the parent has upon the child. So similarly, you know, of course, not that the Almighty Allah needs our gratefulness, but it is us who needs that gratefulness, and it is us who needs to show appreciation for what the Almighty Allah has given us, and that, of course, increases spirituality.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sayyid Shahriyar and Sheikh Fadaid. Sometimes we find that so many, even religious people, lose their hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a satanic temptation because they think that their du'as and their supplications, prayers are not answered by Allah. So all of a sudden, a person, after 20 years of servitude to Allah, is changed into a disbeliever, okay? Because he sees that, for example, the blessings of Allah are not over there. But if you open their eyes, open your eyes, you can find many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can say, around yourself. This is what all the nature is doing. The plants are doing, the animals every morning that they wake up, they do, okay? They are in gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole universe is in gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The problem is that we always think about what we don't have.
We don't have,
it's
yes.
Better to think yeah. about what
your
we
belongings,
have.
That's right. Okay, thank you. Nice sentence. Always think about what you have, not what don't you have. You don't have, that's right. Thank you much. Thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. This episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website, iranradio.com. IRT. Another episode, another interesting topic. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
The name of Marvast as a city with rich culture and amazing monuments shines in the history of three provinces of Iran, Yazd, Kerman, and Fars. There were times in history that Marvast belonged to Fars province, and there are many stories of the cultural, social, and political influences of Kerman province on this city and its people. Today, Marvast technically belongs to the culturally rich province of Yazd, but it certainly enjoys many characters that are inherited from all three neighboring provinces. People of Marvast have dedicated a day of the year to their city and invited us to visit this place for the first time and together celebrate the rich history and cultural diversity of their hometown. Everything starts with a tour of the city.
In every city of Iran, there's some significant historical places that can take you back all the way to hundreds or thousands of years ago without me feeling old at all.
A circular fortress built a few hundred or perhaps thousands of years ago to protect the inhabitants of this region. Some historians claim that it was built during the Ilkhanid era, and some locals believe that it belongs to the pre-Islamic time. No matter in what exact period of time this magnificent structure was built, I believe the construction of Marvast Fortress was a great idea. This gigantic fortress and the Marvasti people who served here played an important role in protecting and saving many of the residential houses, public places, cultural monuments, and historical structures that we're supposed to visit during this trip. Some of those structures, like the Marvast Fortress, have become the symbols of this amazing adobe city. An adobe city in the central part of Iran that we, in company with some locals and tourists from other cities of Iran, are about to explore. Apart from iconic buildings and monuments, most Iranian cities still have some very old districts with narrow alleys and old houses, all made with earthly materials. And some of them have been perfectly preserved. They have been preserved so today we can have some ideas about the people who were the inhabitants of these Iranian historic cities, like Marvast, which used to be a village back in the old days. Before, when you were traveling in Iran, it was a bit difficult to experience the lifestyle of the local people of that area. Nowadays, because of this trend that started recently, and I mean the trend that people turning their historical houses to traditional hotels, even for a short period of time, you get a chance to live exactly like the people who lived here back in the old days. You get a chance to eat like them, to be served like them, to get treated like them, and to enjoy this beautiful life like those people. Historic houses of Marvast, like other cities in the central part of Iran, have their unique architecture, and they enjoy elements and features that you can only find in structures in the desert regions of Iran. Not all historic houses of Marvast have the same situation as the House of Chaharfasl. Some are abandoned, some renovated and now being used as private houses, and some others have been restored and turned into local museums. Inside the house, you're surrounded by some precious objects, antique home appliances, traditional decorative items, and handicrafts that can take you back in time. Maybe to the time that the local governors of the Safavid and Qajar dynasties ruled this part of the country. Maybe to the time that the people of Marvast lived simple lives, away from the hustle and bustle of big cities. After visiting the most iconic structure of Marvast and a couple of historical houses, the young people of the city surprised us by a performance, or let's say a kind of traditional sport which has roots in our history. It is called Varzesh Bastani, or heroic sport, which nowadays being performed to welcome visitors to most historical cities and places. When we're thinking about Eastern culture, and specifically Iranian culture, image of the curve automatically comes to your mind. Curves are everywhere in Iranian architecture, specifically in desert cities. Houses, mosques, temples, with mesmerizing domes. Another famous structure of Marvast is called Gumbadi, which means dome-shaped. It belongs to the Ilkhanid era. It is a mysterious place because it is believed to be a mausoleum of a local governor or a popular figure, but there's no evidence of a gravestone inside the structure. Marvast is relatively a big city and our time is limited. So the best way to get a glimpse of all the potentials of this city, and especially in the field of agriculture, is to check out this fair. And of course, the inauguration ceremony starts with a very unique and special dance called Raqs-e Dastmal, which is a traditional dance of the people of Marvast region. In every corner of this world, because of industrial farming and agriculture, eating healthy is becoming a big trend, and people are demanding more and more healthy foods and products. We're lucky in Iran, because we just need to get out of the big cities, and we have access to all these healthy and natural foods and products. There, I already ate this. They're definitely delicious and tasty and healthy for us. The main objectives of the organizers of this fair is to showcase their potentials in different fields. And of course, to encourage visitors to buy and consume locally grown, healthy, and natural products. For from the fertile land of Marvast. Hallways with different stands and access to hundreds of products, such as sweets, breads, cheeses, chocolates, honey, nuts, and so on. For us, coming from different regions, some tastes are very unique, and some products are very strange. At the end of the day, local people of Marvast and tourists come together at a special ceremony to share some joyful moments. This might be the end of all events dedicated to this city and its people. But the charm, hospitality, and friendliness of the people of Marvast never end. Shahryar Azimi for Iran.
Aquí Teherán, la voz de la República Islámica de Irán.
Estimados oyentes, ahora escucharán las aliyas 60 y 61 de la sura de Anfal del Sagrado Corán, recitadas por el señor Rahnema.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة ومن رباط الخيل ترهبون به عدو الله وعدوكم